Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese podcast.
Oh, yeah. Neil Young has demanded his music be taken off Spotify because of podcaster Joe Rogan, quote, spreading fake information about vaccines, end quote, proving podcasters all suck. Hi, kids. It's the Chad and Cheese podcast, the sugar in your coffee. This is your co-host, Joel, rocking in the free world, Cheeseman.
And this is Chad, heart of gold, Soash.
And on this week's show, Office Space isn't just a 90s film classic, and You Oughta Know isn't just a great 90s lyric. LinkedIn's fake menace and ZipRecruiter introduces us to Phil McCracken. Yeah, that'll kickstart the stock price for sure. Let's do this!
Okay, listener, how can you help your employees become more productive? I have answers. How about automating manual and repetitive tasks, giving meaning to data, then allowing that data to actually drive decisions? And how about matching people to your jobs quicker?
Well, wait, the Chad and Cheese has a new LLM?
No, Cheeseman, I'm talking about TextKernel.
Ah, okay, that makes more sense. What I'm hearing is the groundbreaking concept of, wait for it,
yeah,
simplicity. Seriously, TextKernel cuts through the complexities like a tortilla chip through some hot nacho cheese.
Oh my God, really? Nacho references already. Anyways, TextKernel brings efficiency and productivity to your operations. TextKernel seamlessly unifies your tools and data to drive efficiencies and success.
TextKernel is creating new opportunities for your recruitment journey. Kind of like adding guac to my barbacoa burrito.
Oh my God. How about extracting meaningful insights from data? I mean, that's something. Swiftly matching people with jobs, automating repetitive tasks. Who knew such advanced concepts were even possible in the land of human resources?
We did, Chad. We did. Dude, wrap it up. I'm a little hungry.
Imagine that. Okay, listener. Get ready to use today's tech to drive efficiencies and productivity. Visit TextKernel.com. That's TextKernel.com.
Nachos. Rocking in the free world.
Neil Young he's putting his foot down. He's like, no, fuck this. This shit's not going down with my name on it. But you saw this, right?
I did. And listeners will know that Spotify gave Joe Rogan $100 million.
Yes.
Probably not knowing that artists would start leaving the platform. But here we are.
Yeah. Well, in a quote from a letter written by Neil Young, quote, I am doing this because Spotify is spreading fake information about vaccines. And he's talking about Joe Rogan's podcast, potentially causing death to those who believe the disinformation being spread by them. Please act on this immediately. Take today and keep me informed of the time schedule. If you take a look at Spotify today, all of Neil's shit is off, unfortunately. And also, last month, 270 doctors, physicians, and science educators also signed an open letter asking Spotify to stop spreading Rogan's baseless claims bullshit. Bullshit was my part.
So do you think this spreads into other things? Like, I mean, look, Apple Music has podcasts, I'm sure, that have people talking about vaccines and mistruths and conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Like, are people going to get off Apple Music? And Google has the same thing. I mean, if you go to Netflix, people are mad about Dave Chappelle's latest comedy act. Do people say, start saying, like, pull me off of Netflix? Or is this sort of a one-off?
Well, first off, Chappelle, what he said didn't kill anybody. So, I mean, they
killed me with laughter, baby.
We've got apples and oranges happening here. Not to mention most of those other podcasts probably don't equal Rogan's estimated 11 million listeners per episode. There's a huge difference. Apples and oranges on, you know, Tommy and his local podcast talking about how, you know, he's taking ivermectin versus Rogan saying it. There's just a huge difference. Now, do we see other artists actually follow suit? I don't know. But it is good to see somebody like, I mean, Neil Young has always been an activist, right? And this doesn't, yep. This does not surprise me.
Well, Chad, for my money, we haven't made it until some artist says, I'm off this platform because of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Spreading just regular bullshit.
Ooh, talking about putting the expectations high.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And it better be Justin Bieber. Anyway. Shout outs. Should we get to some shout outs?
Yes.
A lot of shit going on this week. Yes, crazy. Yes. Okay. So my first shout out, I wanted to bring this to everyone's attention. So my son Cole is 15, which means he can legally work in a few places. There aren't a lot of companies hiring 15-year-olds.
Right. Now, you worked before you were 15, though, right?
I was 15. I worked at the high school that my parents worked.
Okay. Just kind of getting an idea of when you actually started working versus kind of like when our kids did, right?
Yeah, but I cheated. Like, my parents worked at the high school. Too. So for a summer, I changed the locker combinations. So I actually knew everyone's locker combination. Anyway, I won't go down that wormhole. Okay. So there are four employers that are around here where we live. Most are nationally recognized. And I decided to apply for my son, which was a nice little exercise in how people apply for jobs. So the four employers that my son applied to was McDonald's.
Okay.
Culver's, which is a little more regional. It's a burger place, sort of Wisconsin flavor. You can get cheese curds there and everything, but good food. Chick-fil-A, and then Subway, which makes fine Subway sandwiches.
Yes.
So I'm going to rank them from worst to first and just give you like a little summary of how it was. So the absolute worst application process was Culver's. Culver's was sort of old school, which I was fine with for a while. And then they got to the end and they wanted my social security number.
Oh, no.
Which is awful. I mean, a lot of kids don't even know their fucking social security number.
Yes.
So that was like a major, I'm out of here. So
yes.
I was out on that one. Number two was Subway.
Okay.
Subway did localize it. I could apply to multiple sort of Subways near me. So I
smart.
Could get one application to a bunch of different stores.
Right.
They did ask for like references, which if I'm 15, I don't know if I have a ton of references other than my history teacher or something. But they asked for and required it. I couldn't just skip it.
For a Subway.
For making Subways, I needed some references at 15 years old. They did not ask me my age, which was interesting. Mostly they just asked if I was at least 15. So okay. I applied to Subway. It was fine. They sent a little email. We'll see if I hear from them. I haven't heard from them yet. It's been a few days.
Gotcha.
Number two is going to go to Chick-fil-A. So Chick-fil-A was a little standard. You know, put your name in, da-da-da. And they even – the hurdle for them was they requested a resume be uploaded or like text. And I simply put in, I don't have a resume. I'm 15. Sort of just see if, you know, is supply that short that they'll contact me. So I applied. Within probably an hour, I got a text saying, we'd love to set up a Zoom interview with you. Do you have any availability this week? So a few messages went back and forth. And my son has a Zoom interview today after school with Chick-fil-A. So we'll see how that goes. That was a pretty good experience. But number one,
yes,
was McDonald's.
Okay,
McDonald's, as we know, is a Paradox company. I chatted with Olivia.
Okay,
it was very interesting. So Olivia was like, "Hey, what's your name? Where do you live? What are you looking for?
They took the basic information.
15? It was if I was 15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Felt like an organic, okay, this is how I use my mobile phone and the web, because I use my mobile just because I wanted to get that experience.
Yeah.
So during the process, I went through some pre-screening questions, which weren't many. So McDonald's is hurting for people. It was like, can you work in the US? Are you at least 15 years of age? Do you have transportation? Okay, you're good.
That's all they need to know anyway, though.
Basically, yes. Yes. So after I passed the pre-screen, then it said, we'd love to bring you in for an interview. Here's, I don't know, 3 or 5 days and times that work. Do any of these work for you? So we have an interview with McDonald's on Monday of next week. So we'll see how that goes. But
is that on site or are you doing Zoom?
That one's on site.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A's on Zoom. This one's on site. So,
gotcha.
But McDonald's, the application and the chatbot experience and all that was solid.
Nice.
Then Chick-fil-A, they contacted me with text. Subway was sort of, we'll see what happens. And then Culver's social security number. Come on, dude. Seriously.
That's stupid.
And they use a company called Talent Reef.
Yeah.
Talent Reef. I don't know if it's the default on their system or if companies request that. But yes, Talent Reef was there. ATS, and apparently they work with a lot of other fast food places. So shout out to Mickey D's for being number one.
Do you think that they only went through this very shortened process at McDonald's because they're hurting for people or because that's really just the information that they need?
Maybe it's both.
It could be.
I think if you're dealing with teenagers, that it should be as organic to what they know and as quick and easy as possible. When you get to like, what's your social security number? Like, I'm going to McDonald's.
I don't think it needs to be even teenagers. It's for that position, period. So if I'm 30 years old and I'm applying for just a basic position at McDonald's, I don't care what your fucking age is. We don't need all that shit. What we need is this. And that's it. I don't need your prior experience unless you're looking for management position. But yeah, no, I totally get that. That's cool.
I think the chat might throw off some older people. I don't know.
You weren't thrown off, so.
Well, I'm really smart, so.
All right. Shout out to Rick Richard over.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Rick Richard, CEO over at Staff Up for the amazing 15-year Haitian rum that he sent. Did you get yours yet?
Yeah, I'm allegedly getting some.
Okay.
I'll report back next week.
I don't think you deserve any, but anyway. I had a taste of mine last night, a little straight and then some on ice, and it was pretty magical, very buttery, very good. So I really, really enjoyed that.
Now, you're not generally a rum person, are you?
I'm not. No, I'm not. But I wanted to taste it much like we taste bourbon. I don't want to put Coke and all that other fucking shit in it. I want to be able to get the taste of the actual alcohol itself. So that's why I went straight and then I did with a little ice. So it was really good. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it, my man. Big shout out to Maya Huber, CEO over at Skillset in Israel. Robbie Shaw, CEO over at Hello Hire in Toronto. And also, thanks for listening, Barb Hyman over in the land down under. She's the CEO of Predictive Hire, and she's also been on Firing Squad. So everybody keep listening, keep sharing, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, she kind of came after me on LinkedIn this week. I won't go into that, but yeah, she's feisty. She's a feisty Aussie, as if there's anything.
I think she was looking for me when she was coming after you, but yeah.
Yeah, you might have gotten the same heat that I got, the same smoke in my message box. Yeah. Anyway, okay, that was a lot of shout outs. So shout out for me to Craigslist.
Yes.
They're still around. So AIM, our buddies at AIM reports, Craigslist revenue was up 17% from a year ago, thanks to huge jump in recruitment ads. AIM estimates Craig made $660 million in revenue last year, a 17% increase from 2020.
Damn.
The double-digit percentage bump stops a two-year slide that saw Craigslist top line drop from more than $1 billion in 2018. You might remember we talked about that to $565 million in 2020. Traffic continues to slide, however, but job postings brought in $152 million in 2021, a year-on-year bump of nearly 30%. Gig ads also brought in $10 million, up 75%. So, Craig, shout out to you, buddy. You live on.
Yeah, and if you're not currently getting like an AIM group newsletter, or I mean, they've got some great business intelligence in our space. Go to aimgroup.com.
By far the best global perspective on everything markets, whether it's cars, jobs. I mean, fantastic.
Yep.
Fantastic.
I don't know if you know or not, Joel, but the Chad and Cheese podcast is now available on Audible.
That's way too classy for us, isn't it? Audible?
They're creating their own podcast content, and I knew it would only be time before they started styling, you know, Chad and Cheese as well. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like, we can create some of this content and you have to be on Audible to listen to it, but we really need the mass effect of all of those other podcasts.
Yeah. Are they an Amazon company?
Yeah.
Well, so they have money. Anyway.
Yes.
Speaking of money, shout out to Twitter. They launched NFT approved profile pictures this week. So if you have a Bored Ape NFT, a CryptoPunk or whatever, you can add it to Twitter and your profile pic will be a hexagon as opposed to a circle. So virtue signaling taken up a notch by Twitter. I saw that Gwyneth Paltrow just bought a Bored Ape and added it to her Twitter account, and she has like 3 million followers. So anyway, NFTs are a thing and Twitter's helping it be a thing. So shout out to them.
A big shout out to Michael Odell. That's right. He registered for free stuff finally, and he wants to know where his fucking t-shirt is. Man, our listeners are spoiled.
They're very demanding. Where's my free shit?
I get texts and messages asking why they haven't won beer or bourbon yet. First off, you got to register at chadcheese.com/free. And then be patient, Grasshopper. Be patient.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I don't know how many people I've received messages from, and my response is, did you register? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh what?
Oh.
Yeah. I know you're giving away free shit, but yeah. So I'm just supposed to know telepathically to send you shit. That's not how it works, kids.
And Chad, where do they go to get free shit? And who's sponsoring our free shit?
You go to chadcheese.com/free or just .com and click on the free in the upper right hand corner. You can get beer from pillar.hr. It's delivered right to your front doorstep. Bourbon from Sovereign/, our buddies over in the Netherlands text kernel. And last but never least, get one of those sexy ass free t-shirts, all provided by emissary.ai, baby.
By the way, we're doing a live show sponsored by Pillar here locally at an Indianapolis brewery called Sun King. So if you're in Indianapolis and you want to join us, hit up Chad or myself. We'll send you an invite and get you into the show. So that's exciting as well.
There are only so many seats, so we can't promise that you're going to get in, so you better be quick.
Hey, I'm cool with standing room only. I'm having delusions of grandeur. Anyway, because I want to play Madison Square Garden someday as the Chad and Cheese podcast.
On to events. Are you ready for in-person events finally?
A little bit.
Okay.
I'm ready for some human interaction. You know, I'm a people person, Chad.
We're still working on getting some things pulled together for Unleash in March. So I'm pretty excited about that. Early May, we're going to be in Belgium for the e-recruitment congress in Oosten, Belgium. Go to e-recruitment-congress.com. Check it out. If you're in Europe, be there.
Yeah, we better see some Euros at that show.
There's no reason you shouldn't be there. And then July at Knebworth Park in England, it's Wreckfest. This is going to be a one-day event. Joel and I are going to be emceeing the Disrupt stage, which is the tech stage. And you can go to wreckfest.co.uk and get them tickets.
Love it. And podcast from the week, we had Firing Squad with Be Remote. Let's just say the guns came out from one of us on that one. And we had a great European show as well. So check those out. Birthdays celebrating this week and into next week. Don Sabatino, an old agency guy. Happy birthday to him. Friend of the show, Josh Zwane.
Oh, Jay-Z.
Commonly known as Jay-Z, is apparently celebrating the big 4-0. So happy birthday to him. Gloria Okino. Ed Forever Team Chad Zatuski. Our boy in Philly,
Ed,
celebrates a birthday. Matthew Miller, Nicole Adamson, Frederick Patton, Deborah, I'm going to butcher this. And I actually did go to the LinkedIn profile to see if the audio was there, and it wasn't. So this is Deborah Zangarten. I'm guessing. Adam Bergen, Ivan the Irish Recruiter, Stojanovich.
Yes.
All celebrate birthdays. So
love it.
Thanks for listening and happy birthday.
Ed is so John. I'm telling you.
So John.
Topics.
Topics. Oh, Chad, it's a unicorn alert. Is that a dick in a box? No, it's Darwin Box. The India-based human resources management software service has achieved unicorn status after a $72 million Series D funding round totaling $110 million to date. The proceeds will go towards market expansion and product innovation as well as sales and marketing. Darwin Box is also set to launch operations in the U.S. this year and double its total workforce. Currently, around 75% of its business comes from India and 25% from other Asia and Middle Eastern countries. The company claims 650 client companies in India and abroad. It operates out of 12 global offices with over 700 employees and has 1.5 million users from 90 countries and expects to achieve profitability by 2025. So, Chad, are you thinking inside or outside this box?
Stay out of my box.
That's what she said.
Seven rounds of funding to get to 110 million. I mean, this was a slow roll and boil for them, although they obviously are seeing great growth. And the human capital management industry needs these young startups to upset the apple cart, no question. The quotes from the article: despite the pandemic, Darwin Box grew significantly in Southeast Asia, while India has been a strong market for it as well. The six-year-old startup gets about a third of its revenue from Southeast Asia, while the Middle East contributes only about 6 to 7%, but the bulk of the revenue is from India. My question is, why rush to the American shores? I mean, why open up another battlefront? Remember when Germany opened up the Russian battlefront in World War II? You just can't sustain all of these battlefronts. And when you come to the US, it is the biggest one you're going to have to open, and you're going to have to put more resources there than anywhere else. So I don't understand, why not own the areas that you're already doing well in?
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, trying to spread yourself too thin. I believe, and tell me what you think, that the main investor, or one of the main investors, who is an American and invested in Netflix and Airbnb, they are probably pressing for this. I personally don't think it's a great idea.
Yeah. When I first heard about this company, I thought it was like a monthly box of goodies that employers get, like Birchbox. Like, I thought this was an employment box that you would get every month. Anyway, I totally agree with you. I mean, they've been around since 2015. They've grown organically. There's a billion people in India and some of the other markets that they serve.
Yeah.
The site looks it. I mean, the site looks really simple, and like, just visually, they can't come to the US. They like redesign the whole fucking thing if they're coming to the US. And we talked about Handshake last week.
Yeah.
We talked about how the fuck, like, so you get to these points in money, we're like, okay, we're going to take on college market. Okay, we're going to do virtual job fairs, give us more money. And then it's like, okay, what are we going to do next to raise more money? And in Handshake's case, it was, we're going to take on LinkedIn. I think in Darwin's Box's case, it was, we're going to take on America, so give us $72 million. Obviously, a lot of investors were pretty excited about that, wrote a check. So I think it's just like, where's the growth coming? And it's a really easy answer to say, like, well, if we just tackle America and get 5% of the market and 10% over five, like, so you start doing the math, but investors don't think far enough along, like, you just can't make it in the US. Like, you just culturally, visually, there's too much competition, too many brand names that people trust. Like, this keeps happening, and it's going to keep happening more and more as European businesses, Asian businesses look to grow and make more money. They're going to hope to grow in the US, and good fucking luck, as we've seen throughout the history of the show and the history of our careers, it doesn't usually work out very well. So I'm not real bullish on these guys coming to anywhere really outside of their base, their lane. Like, stay in your lane. There's a billion people in India. Like, well, there's enough business there to make a mint. I don't know why you would think about coming to the US.
Spread into Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they say currently 90 countries. Well, get penetration and sustainable growth in all of those, yeah, right? I mean, I do agree that, you know, America is a huge pot of gold. There's no question. But the biggest problem, once again, is when you already have 90 battle fronts, per mm-hmm. se, you're fighting the battle on 90 different fronts. Don't open a huge front like the U.S.
Yeah. So good luck to Darwin Box. And yes. If they need growth, they should just send out boxes to employers with with sweaters and shoes and stuff like that.
Darwin Awards.
Anyway, Austin, Texas-based Office Space Software, which is also one of the cities the movie Office Space was filmed in, announced an approximately $150 million strategic investment. The Office Space platform lets companies simplify how workers use and interact with their workplace, manage desks and room bookings, and maintain social distancing. Office Space recently launched a service called Neighborhoods, which is intended to manage a, quote, new hybrid reality, end quote, helping businesses get their workers back to the workplace. Chad, is this Office Space open for business? Are you going elsewhere?
Just as long as you don't take my stapler. So this comes from a single investor with $150 million, Vista. And Vista is a pretty damn big name. Much to your chagrin, Mr. Cheeseman, Airbnb is not going into the office space business. So companies need to figure out their back to office / hybrid work strategy. Mm-hmm. The only thing, though, is I believe that this will be big. There's no question. Companies do need to rethink, understand whether they want to do hot desking, how many locations do they have. I mean, there's just so many different options that you can provide to your employees. But I think much like Peloton's window of growth during the pandemic, the office space recalibration window will be much shorter than everybody thinks. So I do think this will be big. I just don't think it's going to be big for long because it's not going to be necessary.
Yeah, if anything, we're hearing stories of people reducing the amount of office space that they need because of work from home. I mean, we talked about this in length, but look, there's going to be a certain number, a certain universe in companies of people who want to be at work more than others, or if at all. Look, younger people probably want to be there and get mentored and have interactions that they would normally have, whereas old people like us just want to stay in our slippers and sweats. but then you have executives and how they interact. So yes, there will be office space, just like there are still newspapers. They'll be smaller. They'll be a little bit more agile, a little bit more techno-focused and distance conscious. So companies like this, there'll be a place for them. Is it an amazing growth opportunity? Like you mentioned, Peloton and Zoom and some other pandemic success stories. I don't know if the growth is going to be there for this. Now, they may be one of the few that do it, so leaving not much competition. But I think you and I are much more bullish on companies like WorkChew, which we've spoken about, that give workers wherever they are access to restaurants and hotels to be able to work at tables and guarantee a Wi-Fi connection and guarantee a plug-in and give them free iced tea and free coffee while they're there. Like, I think that is a much more dynamic business than something like this, which is just trying to sort of salvage the old world office space and make a profit from it. Success, sure. Business, sure. Huge success. You know, the next Apple, probably not.
Yeah. Well, I think office space transforms dramatically, especially with apps like WorkChew, where you're meeting individuals in hotel lobbies and restaurants, and because these are now new workplaces that you can go to. Mm-hmm. And you start to build these new tribes, these new cliques, these new whatever you want to call them, right? So you do have the connection to your business, but you're not at the water cooler with them every day. Yeah. Or, you know, you prospectively could. You could be going in a few days a week to the office, but the rest of the time you don't want to go. Maybe you work from home, or maybe you work from, you know, a hotel lobby or something more swanky. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I think we have to think differently about how we collaborate. You always ask, and I think this is a great question, do you think that the iPhone could have been created in a hybrid workforce?
I said remote, not hybrid.
Okay, remote, sorry, in a remote workforce. Not today, because that's not how our brains work, because that's not how we've been trained. Mm-hmm. Could it be in 10 years? Oh, fuck yeah. I think we could actually do much better, much faster remote and or hybrid. Yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction, but I don't think that office space per se is going to be around for long.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, some really good companies use this service, so there's obviously something there.
Short term, though, that's all they're going to need.
Short term. Well, I don't know. Speaking of short or long term, next in the news, London-based jobs platform Otta, OTTA, has secured $20 million in Series A funding. The startup is now planning to expand its U.S. presence with an on-the-ground commercial team and double its product and engineering team in London. Interestingly, angel investors include Indeed's co-founder, Paul Forster, Alex Bouaziz of Deal, Ben Herman, formerly of Canvas, now at Kin Ventures, and the two dudes who founded and run Beamery. The company takes a data-based approach to matching candidates with vacancies at tech companies, drawing on such information as founder bios, employee reviews, salaries, and industry specifics. Sort of like a Crunchbase for job search. Chad, is this a company you ought to know? Or is this just rain on your wedding day?
Yeah, this is, to me, is kind of a jagged little pill.
I like that.
What stood out to me were the investors. So I took even more time, went to the website because I wanted to actually go through the process. The website itself looks like an old backdrop to the dating game back in the 70s, number one. Number two, as soon as I landed on Otta's website, I saw the tagline, "Your calling is calling." And I about shit because remember, that Monster was the tagline that Monster used for a fucking Super Bowl commercial. So it's almost like you're trying to shoot yourself in the foot, right?
Good catch.
And then you get into building profiles. So they ask certain questions around building, you know, your profile. It took about 10 minutes. And really, it was kind of like a skinny profile, more of like what your wants were, not really as much of a profile. Then they don't use the LinkedIn API. So you've got to go to LinkedIn to get your profile PDF. You've got to load the PDF into Otta, and then it only pulls over the titles of my career history. So then you have to take, I don't know, another 10 to 20 minutes, which I did not do, to add three bullets to all of those things. So none of this seems revolutionary, mainly just the UX. It seems like it's trying to take historically shitty, unstructured data, being the resume and job description, and break it down rather than trying to parse my LinkedIn data. So to me, I don't see anything special here yet. They're trying to say that, you know, they're the Crunchbase of you know, jobs or people or whatever. I don't see that. They also talk about competing against LinkedIn. I don't see that either. I see, because they're not a network. I see them competing against Zip.
Any other job board in the world.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Crunchbase thing was amusing because when Indeed came out, it was like, we're the Google for jobs, which I think a lot of people got. I think people made that connection. But to say we're the Crunchbase will be confusing for a lot of people, considering Crunchbase is sort of this niche site of how companies get money and whatnot. So
yeah,
to me, like a job board, I don't know. Okay, number one, I don't know why anyone would launch a traditional job board today. There's so many other opportunities to make a lot more money with technology and AI, and hell, the metaverse would be more interesting than doing another job board. But to me, it needs to be an IQ test. Like, it's so, like, you know, hand on the forehead, like, dope, I get it, right? So when Monster came along, it was like, okay, newspaper ads on the internet, it's way cheaper. You can have unlimited space, jobs reach across borders. Like, oh shit, that makes sense. The second one was Indeed. Oh, wait a minute. One place to see all the jobs. Oh shit, that makes a lot of sense. And then you had people copy it and do the same thing. I got no oh shit moment with Otta. And until they do that, I'm not buying. Aside from the fact that they have some pretty interesting angels.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul's a pretty smart guy. Whether he sees an acquisition target or a flip on this company, or I don't know what he bought into, but I'm at a loss. To me, it's just another help wanted sign on the you know, digital world. And I also hate the name. I think Otta's stupid. Like, let's take a break and get to LinkedIn and ZipRecruiter.
Do it.
Human resources is supposed to be about humans. I mean, it's right there in the name. But when your hiring team is more like an assembly line, glued to their computers, manually posting heaps of jobs everywhere they can think of, that human part feels nowhere to be found. This is a new era. Pando IQ takes the mind-numbing copy-pasting and nerve-wracking guesswork out of the job posting process. When you plan a hiring campaign with Pando IQ, you tell us who you need. Then, before you ever spend a cent, we predict what it will cost to find them. Pando IQ chooses the ideal recruiting sites from thousands of options, targeting the ones your next great hire frequently visits, then fires off your ads at precisely calculated times, surfacing the most relevant applicants for you to pick from. Now you're free to get to know the best talent, build great teams, and take care of your humans. Pando IQ will do the rest, so you can get back to doing what the computers can't.
For more information on Pando IQ, go to pandologic.com. That's pandologic.com.
All right, dude. LinkedIn is in the news and on our show again. This is from Jan Tegzi. He's a future guest for our European show, so make sure you tune into that. Anyway, he says LinkedIn has a fake profile problem. You're kidding, right? Jan gives us 7 reasons why this is happening, including email spam, sticking it to LinkedIn's connection request limits, and catfishing, your favorite topic. Chad, fake profiles certainly can't derail the LinkedIn cash express, can it? Which leads us to the boring news before we get to the commentary. So Microsoft Corp reported revenue at LinkedIn rose 37% year over year to $3.53 billion in the company's fiscal second quarter ending December 31st, an increase of 36% as measured in constant currency. Microsoft noted that LinkedIn's growth was driven by advertising demand in its marketing solution business, which increased 43% year over year, and by an improving job market in its talent solutions business. LinkedIn keeps printing money, but yet dealing with these scandals. Chad, fake profiles, what you got?
LinkedIn's not going to do anything about that because it does nothing but bolster the number of profiles and ensures startups buy even bigger packages with more seats. These startups are creating fake profiles. These companies, these startups are creating fake employee profiles so that they can buy more seats to get beyond the per seat limit for recruiters, right? So they're gaming the system, but they're gaming the system with LinkedIn benefiting, right? It's like telling Facebook that propaganda is being used by fake accounts, and then Facebook sees the accounts are spending money and keeping users engaged with their bullshit info. But it's all about the cash, not the human cost. And I don't think that LinkedIn sees this as a real problem. I've submitted several fake accounts over the last year or so.
Ooh, naughty, naughty.
None of them have been returned or have actually received a response back about the fake account being removed because, I mean, they just say, hey, just go ahead and block them because they'd rather me block them than them actually remove.
Yeah. On the fake profiles, 3 things really stood out to me. So number one is companies are starting fake accounts to make it look like they have more employees than they really do, which is either genius or really stupid. I'm not exactly sure which, but I mean, obviously, if you're a startup,
it sounds like fraud.
It's total fraud. But if you're a startup, you get nothing to lose, right? Like make 12 fake accounts, give yourself a CTO, a CFO, some developers, some salespeople. And then you look a lot bigger than you were initially. So that I didn't think that that was a thing. So apparently that is a thing that stuck out more than anything. Number two, you know, show me a LinkedIn limitation and I'll show you a strategy to get around it. I think they traded one form of spam for another. So instead of a legitimate account sort of automating 1,000 requests, connection requests a day, you get 1,000 fake accounts requesting, you know, 50 a day or whatever the limit is. So they traded one for the other. And number three, what does this do? So nobody gets hurt, but I'm curious about this. All these sourcing tools that rely on these profiles, if there's a growth in fake profiles, all these sourcers, salespeople, whatever, are reaching out to folks that don't exist. At some point, that has to come back to LinkedIn, doesn't it? Doesn't that hurt them on some degree?
But if they don't get responses from those fake individuals, then it's what they're used to anyway.
Just move on.
Yeah, this is a just move on kind of scenario. And it plays into LinkedIn's earnings. But I mean, remember when we used to sit back and look at Monster earnings and ask, how in the hell is this Relic still making fat cash while Indeed and Simply Hired, they're not gaining traction, right? We always have to remember those days because the HR recruitments, this industry moves so slow. But there are, obviously, because we talk about them every week, there's so much more competition today than there was back then for a monster. There's so much more competition for Zip and Indeed and LinkedIn. So from an earnings standpoint, yeah, these are all great numbers, no question. But again, it's a slow moving iceberg that's melting.
Yep. So everyone, when your LinkedIn account rep calls you for your annual renewal, ask them of that growth, how many are fake profiles, and see what the answer is. And let us know what the answer is.
Please.
Speaking of Zip, have you met Phil, Chad?
I have. He's a lame motherfucker.
He's lame, dude. Needs a new hairstyle. Anyway, so there's a new commercial from Zip that touts someone or something named Phil that'll get you a job. Powered by ZipRecruiter's AI technology, the company says Phil learns and improves with every interaction you have with him, so he's always getting smarter and always finding new ways to help you get hired. Phil welcomes users on the site saying, quote, as you look for jobs, I'll be your strongest ally, constantly seeking out new opportunities for you and helping you stand out to employers, end quote. Chad, Zip stock dipped below $20 a share this week near its IPO price. Phil can save them, right?
Shit, Phil can't even get it right when it comes to creating a goddamn profile. So at first, Phil seems hyper local because they only asked at first about my desired location and you can't choose remote. That's on the first screen. The second one, you go to the next page and then it asks again for desired location, right? This is like amateur hour shit. And then there's a box you can check for remote work. Mm-hmm. So at first they ask you one thing and they try to box you in. And then second, they ask you again. And then again, it just makes no sense. Then it serves up five jobs that you can thumbs up or thumbs down where it's trying to teach the algorithm something. It's going to take more than five. But then you can upload your resume to their profile builder. And guess what? You just have to re-enter the same shit.
Oh, hell no.
Fuck Phil. I mean, Phil to me is just another ploy to waste my damn time. Yeah. If I give you my information, parse my fucking information, load it into your system, and then have the system ask me related questions that go to more my contextualized data. This is the same old shit being served up under a new name, and this name is Phil.
Yeah. And the old name used to be Jeeves. Remember Ask Jeeves? It was...
he was more helpful,
I think. We're dating ourselves on this show for sure. But Ask Jeeves was, a mascot for a site called Ask Jeeves, which was a search engine.
Which turned into Ask.
Yeah. Jeeves was just a mascot. He didn't really actually do anything, which I kind of feel like Phil is. Like, is he a mascot? Is he... He's not a chat bot. He's not like an interface to converse with. I'm really confused by this. So I went out looking for
it's horrible.
Some commentary that wasn't mine. So I'm going to let the words of Dan Reich, an everyman who jots his thoughts down on Medium.
Excellent.
Okay, encompasses. So Dan said of ZipRecruiter's Phil, quote, ZipRecruiter has managed the impossible, making the job hunting process even more dehumanizing than it already is, end quote. My man then went on to translate Phil's automated messaging in this way. Quote, hello, you've replied to an inbox that has never had a human look at it. I can understand how you might make that mistake. We made you think there was someone named Phil taking an active interest in your career. So you did the logical thing and tried to send Phil, in quotes, an email. It happens. What you apparently failed to figure out is that we are going to text you links to every open position within 1,000 miles of you, regardless of what industry it is in, because this is a numbers game and we intend to win. And we're totally willing to manipulate you into behaving the way we want, end quote. Bravo, Dan Reich. Bravo.
Bravo. And you wonder why companies like Ada think there's an opportunity, because they see companies like Zips, who should have things tight. They should have their system tight. They should have these different, you know, chat bots or whatever they are. They should have them tightened up because they should know the industry. And when you see something this bad, you've got to say, well, yeah, there's definitely gaps. We need somebody to fill those gaps.
It's a crazy time, Chad.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
And speaking of crazy, let's talk about toad venom after the break.
Are you struggling to attract the talent you need today? Do you lack visibility into where your recruitment ad dollars are really going? There's a better way. Acquire ROI is a programmatic job advertising platform built to optimize your budget and supercharge hiring. Acquire ROI automatically manages and measures recruitment ads across job boards, so you can allocate your budget based on insights, not hunches. Get to quality candidates faster and cost-effectively scale hiring across roles, all while gaining complete visibility and control over your recruitment marketing investments. Say goodbye to manual guesswork, inconsistent performance, and wasted spending. And hello to optimized automated campaigns that produce qualified applicants. At Acquire ROI, we make job advertising easy. Visit us at acquireroi.com and start transforming your talent acquisition today.
All right, Chad.
Yes.
This is from our friends at Town and Country Magazine, one of your favorites. A recent article asks,
"That's where I get all my good recipes.
Why is everyone smoking toad venom?" Clickbait? Probably, but stick with us. Pot and LSD are so yesterday. Now there's a weirder, wilder new drug appearing on the menu for money types in search for mind expansion, the toad. Known as Buffo, I think I'm saying that correctly, named after the venom of the Sonoran Desert amphibian, toad venom is a drug you would apparently not want to take more than a few times, but celebs like Mike Tyson and Chelsea Handler swear by it. Hunter Biden has described it as a salve in helping him kick drug addiction. Until recently, it was so obscure the U.S. government did not list it as a controlled substance until 2011. One user said within seconds of inhaling the Buffo, all of a sudden I was seeing prisms and geometric shapes and I felt like I was passing out, but not in a bad way. I started to drift into something. A different world was opening up, end quote. Sorry, Chad, this is not a party drug. Things can go terribly wrong, as they did in 2020 when a Spanish porno actor was charged with the murder of a fashion photographer during an ill-conceived Buffo ceremony. Obviously, I haven't done it because I don't know the name. I think I'll pass on this one and get a beer. How about you?
Yeah, it's interesting because they try to, I think, demonstrate parallels between mushrooms and this toad venom. And the big difference, at least from a time standpoint, is like if you're on mushrooms and you have a trip on mushrooms, it's going to take hours.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, at least from what I've read and what I've seen on YouTube, which was...
Yeah, Chad and I had a little like viewing party.
It's like 15 minutes. It's like a 15 to 20 minute trip. Yeah. So when you talk about the mushroom trip, which is going to take hours, got to be a guided tour. This is a guided tour, but it's like 15 to 20 minutes. It looked like something I did not want to put myself through. Let's just say that.
Yeah, adults barking at the moon, needing support from like three people watching them so they don't kill themselves. I love the one with like everyone had a pillow to like cushion the legs thrashing and the fist pumping. Like, I'm good, folks. Although the Tyson interview was fun. He died.
Yeah. The Tyson interview. You can check it out. Look at Buffo and Tyson and on YouTube. The article starts off with, in Southampton, soccer moms drop their kids off at school after taking their thrice weekly microdose of psilocybin mushrooms. Then meet for oat milk lattes. The question is, how do I get into that group, right? I don't want to be into the 15 Buffo group. I want to be in that group.
I'm pretty sure Portugal has that group. Oh, this is a hell of a show. Frog venom, everybody.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know. And yet, you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses, and not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.